Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? Welcome back. Great to be in studio.
Always great to be back. You know, I saw your vocal coach this
week,
so I'm trying to take some tips to relax my body, to sit uncross-legged, I guess was another tip of his.
I'm sitting here cross-legged. Yeah. I got to get into position.
Did he tell you that too?
Well, the way you sit is important.
You got to be open. Right.
Yes.
Not close.
Wasn't he great?
He was great. Yeah.
What's his name again? Gary.
Gary. Yeah. Yes.
He's the official vocal coach of the U Up podcast.
Right. And so, I mean, what I went to him for was to try to stop saying like so much. I don't know that it's working yet, but it's a slow, steady process.
You have always had a thing about saying like too much. Since starting this podcast.
It's not like I made it up. People message me about it or leave reviews.
Really? Yeah. I have never in my life the reviewers are vicious. I never in my life with you have I thought of that as a thing.
Oh, that's great.
Every time you've mentioned it, I kind of just go, you know, what am I going to say? I can't tell you how to feel.
I've always kind of thought of it as look up there. I've always thought about it as
a reminder.
There's a reminder.
I was sitting in a haunted house of
betchiness.
Of reminders. It's like post-it notes on the wall.
It's funny because we call this podcast room a clubhouse, but I feel like it kind of could be a haunted house for someone who's maybe dated a betchy girl from New York City. It's like ghost of...
They went through Rush and they
Japs
hated
past.
It.
I don't know. But I feel like it's kind of a Long Island tick. Saying like I do it. I don't notice when anyone else does it, but I think that my friends and I all do it. A lot of my siblings do it. I think it's a Long Island thing.
Okay. It's interesting that it is interesting what people like pluck out as their thing to review about.
Yes.
I'm sure I say like all the time. Maybe I don't. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't notice it on anyone and I don't notice it on myself, but I was kind of thought I should try to up the game by saying it less. And it's hard because you got to speak slower and I don't like doing that.
I'm loud and fast and never shut the fuck up. So I mean, those are all my issues. But I didn't realize when you text me, you're like, I want to talk to the vocal coach. I was like, is that something a vocal coach helps with, saying like less?
I think they can, because I think it's really about like the mind body connection of how, and you probably went to him for something, different, but it's sort of how, you know, your body interacts with what's coming out of your mouth or especially the involuntary things, you know, it's how you're sitting. It's how fast you're speaking. It's kind of how in line your mind and your body are.
When I met with him, he talked a lot about how I sit. And I remember coming here afterwards thinking these chairs are perfect for what he was talking about. Like it sits you up as opposed to, you know, because he was like, you got to sit on your tailbone. You know, the way you sit is so important. And then it was because I kept losing my voice and I was speaking from my throat as opposed from my like abdomen.
Right.
And I want, you know, Matteo Lane, who's been on the show before, he's an opera singer. He's a trained opera singer. So
was Gary.
Is he? So you and Gary got to know each other. I feel like an asshole. I didn't ask him one fucking question.
No, I just read it on his website. Oh. I don't ask anyone any questions about themselves. Don't get it twisted. That's why I said your birthday was the worst day of the year. We've known each other 10 years.
No questions. Yeah, so I just remember he had me laying on the floor and he's like, you know, and it feels very zen, very outside of what I like doing. He's like, separate your arms from your body. And you're like, this is bullshit. And then you're like, wait a minute.
I actually do feel much more loose.
Yeah, I'm speaking from my anus now. You know, like I didn't even realize I could do that. Yeah.
It's a whole new experience. But let's talk about the proposal that you facilitated.
I forgot to bring this up last week, and I just wanted to bring it up because they're two You Up fans. It's a couple that listens to You Up together.
Amazing.
This guy, Anthony, messages me on Instagram. Here's the message, okay? This is a couple. He goes, the message says, urgent proposal request.
Urgent proposal, okay.
That's when you open.
Right.
Hola, Jared. Hope you're doing well. My girlfriend and I are attending your Tampa show May 27th at 8 p.m. We love the You Up podcast and have bonded over it over the past year. So I have a request for you. If possible, I would like to propose to her that night at your event. Would it be possible for you to arrange some skit where you require us to come up on stage? Okay, here's the thing. This isn't in my wheelhouse. I am, as much as I know I do a lot, but I'm lazy.
Well, this guy's asking you to, like, work.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, can you plan the proposal and her favorite flowers or lilies?
Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
It's a lot on me.
You could, yeah. I mean, not to critique the proposer, and thank you for listening to the show.
Yes.
I'm so glad you guys are both fans.
And congratulations.
When you ask someone for a favor, especially when you don't know them, you need to ask for one direct, simple task.
And the favor is me facilitating your...
Right. Not put together. Don't tell me how to do it.
You know, put down something and make it funny. Sound like my dad. My dad does that to me all the time. You know, put together some lines and be funny.
Yes.
No, but and this happens sometimes. I understand. People come to my shows. I love when the audience comes to the shows. Sometimes people will message me, hey, you know, my friend is coming, and can you, like, fuck with her? And it's like, I come with a whole thing planned. Like, I come ready to sing, dance, and dust.
Right.
And if I talk to the audience, that's great. That's a fun moment. But, like, I'm not, like,
witching. Do you find it demeaning?
I have a clip that I'm posting on Instagram. I had a woman yell at my show, what about The Bachelor? Okay. What about The Bachelor? And it's like, from my point of view, like, it doesn't matter how well I'm doing on stage. Now I'm in my head going, is everyone here bored out of their minds hoping I'm talking about The Bachelor? Like, I'm talking about body issues in the first 10, 15 minutes of my show. And then, what about The Bachelor? And it's like, I have to be confident enough to realize this person is drunk. This person, you know, lost focus. And is just knows me from The Bachelor, and that's all they came for, and I'm going to lose that person next time. They're not going to come to the next show. That's okay. I have to be okay with that.
Right.
But for the people there that are having, like, I'm having a great show. Like, I'm not even just saying, like, everyone's laughing. And then this one, what about The Bachelor? And it's like you're a fucking jukebox.
Right.
And it's like, that is, well, also, I'm going to get to it. You don't think, like, you have to trust that the show I'm putting on.
Trust me.
Yeah, like, and I'm going to make it funny in context. I'm not going to go from, like, yeah, I feel, you know, I feel fat today to, how about Chris Harrison? You know, like, it's not, that doesn't even make sense.
I mean, to me, the most, like, annoying thing about that would be them sort of treating you like a jukebox.
Yes. Dance monkey.
Yeah, like, you're not the court jester.
No.
Like, you're...
I am, but I'm not. I come with a plan.
But not in, right, not in a pick-your-own-adventure kind of way.
There's a way to look at it. I do believe there's gravity to also... You can look at things negatively. You can look at things positively. The positive way to look at it is that I'm so conversational. This seems so off the cuff that they believe I can just... they can yell out something. I can just go into the next topic. I have bachelor jokes. I could do that. I will do that. But it's just like, you know, people are enjoying. It's not like there was, like, a huge lull. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I going to do? No, I'm like... You know, I'm pretty good at this. So, so I understand also this is a big moment in his life. So he's like, you could tell though how what the dude is in charge of the proposal. This is how it's getting done. Like the amount of planning is two dudes going,
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
So I messaged back.
I like how you had to voice this whole thing onto you.
So I messaged back. I'm like, hey man, I'd love to help. Message to my website. Messaging through my website is the appropriate way to go. That goes to, that is something I can take a minute on, think about. So then message to the website, we don't write him back. He's like, he's a little bit freaking out. We're getting towards, he goes, hey, following up on the above, what's going on here? So I wrote, got the message. We're going to be able to help out. I had to do the TED talk. So I was like, get to me the week of. So he already got a ticket for a photographer and for his girlfriend and him. And he writes again, Jared, hope you're well. Just following up, haven't gotten a response back. So I wrote, okay. I go, what? And I wrote, what would you like to happen? My initial thought is that we do it at the end of the show. This is me working it out with him.
Okay.
This is his message.
See, this is your first issue. You should have told, not asked.
Well, I just wanted to hear what
his
dream was.
I'm happy to do something at the end of the show.
Well, I agree with you, but I kind of wanted to get him talking.
Okay.
Like, so this is him talking. Ready? That works. I appreciate your help. So whatever you see fit that wouldn't interrupt your flow, any excuse to pull us up on stage would do. Not so much a comic myself. That's demeaning.
Ding.
Yeah, right, that's demeaning. Yeah. No, you're not a comic at all.
Let's this start is funny because, like, imagine saying that to, like, a doctor.
Not so much a physician myself.
Here's how I think we should do it.
Yeah.
You go in, cut a few, you know, like, cut a few spots in the skin.
Yeah.
I'll let you take it from there. I'm not so much a physician myself, but I do know a good suture when I see one.
Yeah. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Like, that's the whole concept of that commercial. So, not so much a comic myself. So, don't know how to pull us up. Here's where I know he's not a comic. You ready? Maybe joke on us being a diverse couple. Me Hispanic and her white. Oh, really? Let's go into that. Let's just get me canceled.
Yes. Look at create a viral moment for him.
Yeah, right? No, I'm not going
to. Yeah. So not going to do that route.
Riff on the diverse couple in the front. Okay. Or maybe closing by asking fans of you a podcast to raise their hand and ask us to come on stage and give a comment. So here's where I'm telling, like you said.
Okay.
I think the move is going to be that I'll ask if anyone has questions. I'll ask around whenever you're ready to ask. I'll ask around the room. And whenever you're ready, you ask, when do you know that you found the one? And I'll make a joke and then ask you to tell me, and I'll invite you on stage. Say some things about your fiance and invite her up. That's when you do it.
Okay.
That seems like a nice little plan. Hey, we have this fun moment.
Looks like that's kind of what you did.
So we get to the show and I go, hey, you guys have been an awesome audience. I don't usually do this, but I would love to take some questions. If anyone has a question, and it's a hot, fun Friday night, 8 o'clock show. This guy, I told him, let me ask around. And Anthony's hand goes right up, and he's in the front row. Ooh me. It's like.
No chill.
And in my head, I'm going, calm the fuck down. Right. I said I'm going to ask around.
Act natural.
Right. So then I see his hand go up, and I go to the other side of the stage to ignore him. The couple next to him, they're next to them going, hey, he's got a question.
Oh, my God. Okay. He must have told them.
I don't know. I go, I'm in my head, shut the fuck. No, they were at different tables.
Okay.
This nerd, I go, shut the fucking nerd in my head. So I'm ignoring them and his hands in the air. The guy next to him going, hey, we got a question over here. I'm like, I was so mad. And then all of a sudden I go, anything over here? Like to the other side of the room. And this is when it got weird. So this woman goes, how big is your penis?
Okay.
I'm like,
can't wait.
I'm like, oh, damn it. This romantic moment. We got a woman asking about my fucking dick.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, and I make a joke. I go, strong medium. Like, I try to, like, and I go, okay.
Anyone else?
And then someone else goes, 5 or 6 inches. I'm like, enough about my cock.
Let's bring up the happy couple.
Finally, I get to him. He does, you know, we do the whole thing, and it was great. And they had the photographer in the back hidden. And it was just.
Did you pay for that?
I didn't pay for shit.
I'm just kidding.
I bought him a drink.
Yeah.
And Allie and Anthony, very nice.
Despite all this shitting you've been doing all over.
Yeah, yeah. I'm shitting it, but I'm shitting on it because it's like we got the final goal was achieved. But it is funny, and I want to ask you about this: the judgment women have of engagements is just. I tweeted about this. I was like, I think it's interesting to me. Like, I posted the video and then there was just a couple people that were just so shitty. Like, he's reading off his phone because he was reading like a nice note to his fiance. It's like, this guy doesn't go on stage. He's not much of a comic.
Yeah.
You know, like. He doesn't go on stage all the time. Like, the guy read a nervous. Very beautiful thing.
I mean,
thing.
This is the internet is like, ruthless in itself. But it,
I guess I should remember
that. I think it was a very cute idea.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was nice. And it's good for them. What, you know, other people, don't yuck someone's yum.
Yeah.
You know,
people just, are, I mean, that's fun. It's like, that's where you go to just talk, you know what I mean? Open forum of
be a normal person and go on your group chat and do that. Don't do that on a public forum.
Right. Talk shit about the person behind their back like a normal person.
Yeah,
like and bridesmaids.
That's right. I agree with that. Like it just made me so annoyed. Like this guy tried. He put together what he put and he did a great job. And he was very nice. I'm happy for them. They posted a nice picture. I'm happy to be a part of it. We are a part of it. They're U-Up fans. They listen together. They said it's brought us together. They, you know, they had only been dating 14 months. So like,
they're ready to go.
Ready to go. It's like, and I just love what this podcast does for people. 14 months. I mean, the conversations are, we have to admit to, the conversations we have here, if you're having them with your significant other, you're moving along, you're communicating at a much faster rate than anyone else is doing.
Yes.
If you want to compare yourself, which I don't think you should do, but if you want to, that's, I mean, that is just the reality of it. Like, right. The idea that you have, I mean, even when we talk, you know, and talk about like, and you press me on dating stuff, even like, I mean, last week's episode where we were talking about like, what were we talking about? I don't listen to the show, so I don't even know.
No. I don't listen to the show either.
No,
I'm can't stand the amount of likes I'm saying. Can't bear it.
Yeah, just when we were talking hypothetically about commitment versus, what was it? Chemistry versus connection. When we were going through that, like, that's a hard thing to talk about.
Yeah.
It's hard for me, you know, so I can understand if someone, you know, and we're professional talkers.
Yes.
So, you know, I can understand if you're sitting there with your significant other, like you're involved in a very tough discussion. So if you're out there and, you know, you have a significant other, maybe it's a, take a road trip, listen to the UWAP podcast, you know, throw it on together.
It's great for facilitating so many conversations. I think that that's the best way. Cause then you, neither one of you have to be the weird one to like bring up the weird subject of what are your thoughts on that?
Do you ever go up to like, to Mike and be like, we were talking about this today?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be like, well, what do you, sometimes I'll read him an email. I'll be like, well, what do you think about? What would you say is the answer?
It feels like a trick.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I used to do that more in the beginning of us dating. I think it's a great beginning of dating exercise. And that I would find it interesting to see like what his take was or things like that. Now that we've been together for a bit, I kind of know what he, you know, I mean, I know what his
you
take get, would
you
be.
You know the take. Yeah. Part of getting to know one another. And listen, this is all to say, we have live shows. We got live shows and we want you guys to come. LA, San Francisco, we're taping this before Boston, but we're positive the Boston show was great. It's already sold out.
Basically sold out, yeah.
So I'm sure those Boston animals were fantastic. Yes. I know them well, being from there. But we're coming to LA and San Francisco, Austin, Chicago, New York.
New York, yeah.
You got to get those tickets. Get them now because that, you know, we're in the, you know, we're in the rehearsal room practicing our dance routine and, you know, putting exactly. Getting our salsa moves down.
Coordinating all the moves.
Yeah. So people get those tickets.
And if you want to join us on stage, I don't know if we're accepting proposal things now that you said that it sounds kind of stressful, but we are accepting volunteers to come on stage for a dating app makeover, or a deal reveal. We're a set you up. We're setting people. We're at a setup for the That's Boston right. show. I'm excited to see how this plays out.
I'm excited. I mean, it's going to be interesting for people to hear afterwards our takes from the setup because we're sending them on a date before the show, right?
Exactly. We facilitated the entire thing.
So we've set two people up on a date to go on before the show. And then we're going to like this. This was the dating game. It was on in the 90s, right? Like it was this was a show. And I just burped.
That's how comfortable we are in the studio. Yeah.
We're going to like question them about the date. Did he burp?
It's going to be red flag or deal breaker. Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really, really excited for this segment. If you want to come on stage, email us with the name of the city of the show that you're attending, UUP@betches.com, and, you know, write what thing you're submitting for, dating app makeover, deal reveal, the whole thing.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
And to get tickets for the show, betches.co/uuplive.
Yes.
So go get the tickets. For those that want to come to a stand-up show, I'm going to be in Minneapolis this weekend, I think. Am I? This weekend? Minneapolis. I asked, I was like, has any tickets sold? And they were like, yeah, yeah, you got like, you know, there's tickets have sold. I go, oh, great.
Tickets have sold. Yes.
I go,
how many?
And I go, well, they go, yeah, a couple hundred. And I go,
oh, wow.
I go, great. I go, how big's the room? They go, yeah, about 1,000. I'm like, oh,
wow.
What an emotional role. Yeah. Because it's part of the Minneapolis Comedy Festival. Oh, so I'm sure they have access to this theater like the whole weekend. But I went from like the top of the mountain to the fucking, you know, depths of society. So if you.
And it's everything's all relative. I say this for our shows too. My self-esteem is entirely dependent on the attendance of these shows. I have absolutely nothing else backing it.
Absolutely. Totally agree. I go weekend to weekend. You know how stressful I was in La Jolla, sold out shows. I left. I was like, how's Minneapolis? They're like, you got about 10 people in the room. I was like, fuck.
I know, it's funny. It's because it really is. It's not about the number. It's not even really about the number of tickets that you sell. It's about the number compared to the capacity.
Yes. You want the room full. You want an energy. You want a liveliness. And that's because we feed off of that. That's why we're telling you, get your tickets now. Get the group chat involved now. Because you're going to have a friend that's going, what are you doing this week? And you go to the UF Live. They go, what's that? And you go, it's a fun time. Fucking come.
Right.
You know, so get the group chat involved. That's what it's all about. So I'm in Minneapolis, San Francisco, LA, Huntsville, Alabama, Nashville, Tennessee. My parents are coming to Nashville to hang out.
Oh, that'll be fun.
They are coming.
Is your brother coming too?
No, my brother opted out. I think he's doing the how do they afford that in Italy trip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's...
It's the season.
Tis the season. Yes. Yeah, tis the season for people who go to Italy that you can't believe they can afford it. So my brother's doing one of those. And so I'm going to be in Nashville. Springfield, Missouri, Austin, Texas with you. And then Providence, Raleigh, Chicago, you up, New York, you up, Dayton, DC, Albany. So
Summer of Jared.
Summer of J-Train. Yeah, jaredfree.com for tickies.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah, let's do an email. I'm ready.
What are we talking about today?
Okay. Today, we have a male listener writing in. We have a couple male submissions this week.
Yes, we do. And I want to say this. We just referenced like watching or listening with your significant other and like getting to know them more from the podcast. This email, if you don't have a significant other, you listen the fuck up. Yeah. This is a man speaking honestly. Because I read this, I was like, this is like an honest, I loved this email.
I loved it too.
Yeah. Okay.
The vulnerability, I thought it was great.
He can be honest with us.
Yes.
Faceless, we don't look him in the eye, we don't question him back. Someone out there is dating a guy just like this. That's why I love this email.
This email also shows me how mean men are to each other, but we'll get into that. Okay. Hey, J&J, love the pod. I know it really benefits me as a male listener with a lot of what not to do. On to my issue. I'm a 25-year-old guy who has never been in a committed relationship. Recently, I met a girl on Bumble that I've really liked. Our experiences together have been really fun and easy. I just feel very comfortable with her. She's also absolutely gorgeous, like crazy hot. Aw. It is to the point that my
crazy hot. Oh, man. It's like, oh, my God. You don't even know. It looks so total smoke show.
It's like, I'd be like, if he said beautiful, that would be better. But, you know, anyway.
He's learning what not to do. Yes. He told us.
It is to the point that my friends who have met her think there must be some major deal breaker to her that I have not found yet if she's willing to go out with me. LOL. Like, imagine a woman saying that to another woman.
To me, this was very relatable.
What's wrong with this guy?
What is wrong with you?
Has he seen you?
Yeah.
Like, no one would ever...
Maybe we're more honest with each other.
I guess. Or maybe it wouldn't happen.
What's that?
Jared. Maybe you wouldn't date someone who was obviously way less attractive than you.
Well, I don't know. Looks don't matter to me.
Exactly. Sure.
I'm not a looks guy. I'm a mind guy. I'm a thoughts guy. I'm a connection guy.
Totally.
That's right.
Okay. So I am not ugly, but I am not a big looker.
Love it. I'm with him. I'm the same.
My height does work to my benefit, though. 6'4".
I am not the same.
Solid. I mean, I get it. 6'4".
6'4", yeah. Not ugly? That's fucking hot.
That is hot. That's true.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? What I would do to be 6'4".
Yeah. I would say like the trifecta of that for men is like 6'4", not ugly, British.
Mm.
It's like almost the exact same thing as hot.
Okay teeth. That's it. Yeah, 6'4". Oh my God. Yeah, this guy, you're good, man. And so tough to put on weight. Those guys are always like, oh, you know, he can eat a lot more than I can.
It's true. Tall people have that.
I'm so jealous.
Going for them.
Yeah.
This girl and I have gone out for 4 weeks to the day at this moment. It's so funny because you're like, men never count. He's like, four weeks to the day.
This guy's counting.
Love
yep.
that. We have done 3 nights of drinks, 3 dinners out, 3 dinners cooked by one of us at our places, 1 group hang, and 2 events together. Sounds like the 12 days of Christmas songs.
3 drinks are drinking, 2 dinners cooking, and a big cock that hasn't been sucked.
There you go. That's basically the anthem of this paragraph. Yeah.
I've read the email. I'll sing it again at the end so people understand the reference.
She's with all these dates, we still have not gotten particularly physical with one another. This is a big thing for me.
Let me read it. Let me sing again. 3 drinks are drinking, 2 dinners cooking, and a fat cock that hasn't been sucked.
And you can find that on the You Up Christmas album. We should do a remake.
Yes, right? Let's do them all. I mean, that's the situation. He's done a lot. He's got the hard hat on. He's gone to work.
Yeah, he's put in his time.
Yes.
So I want to be physical with someone that I am with and know that we are a good match physically. Fair. We have had a couple of makeouts on the couch, but even with those, it felt like she may be holding back a bit. She told me early on that it takes her a while to warm up to someone sexually, so I do not want to pressure her, and I've just been waiting for things to progress on her cue. But like, when does it happen? All our dates that aren't pre-planned as just staying in result in me saying goodbye to her outside her apartment and then walking home.
Bye! See ya!
Not even a kiss?
Just waving.
Later, dude.
Later, Gator.
We're getting to the point where this may become an official relationship and we haven't even seen each other's genitals. What if we get together, have sex, and I don't enjoy it? I can't break up with her immediately after. I would be a monster if I did that. Yes, good to know you're thinking about it, though.
Yes, no, but I was like, am I?
Is your train of thought?
Was this me writing in at 25?
I feel like you would never go on all of these dates without that. You would have like,
oh no, cut. I would have.
You would have
just.
You would have done the 3 dinners out, 3 nights of drinks, 3 dinners cooked by one of us at our places, 1 group hang, and 2 events together.
It's a lot.
But who's counting?
Yeah. But he likes this girl. And there's a big piece of the relationship pie that ain't being accounted for. And I feel for him because I'd be like, I'm down the river. I'm down. He is down Schitt's Creek without a paddle. Because now he looks like a what he is saying.
Or she's got him right where she wants him.
Well, this is when people go, let's keep going with the email.
All right. Is it possible that she isn't all that attracted to me, but is trying to convince herself otherwise because we get along so well? I know Jordana's talked about going on dates and trying to figure out whether she was attracted to the guy by the 3rd to 5th date, but we are well past that. She talks about the things she wants us to do, I know Jared, and has been actively trying to set up a double for us with her friend and her friend's husband. There isn't a lack of effort on her end trying to get together. I've never been this close to a relationship with a girl before and also so far from any sexual contact. I'm so bad at this and I need some help from anyone but my friends. Thanks for the help. Long, tan, and sexually frustrated.
I want to just say to this guy, thank you for writing in.
Good email.
I think it's a fantastic email. And if you're a woman listening out there that's heterosexual and you're interested in men, you're inside the mind of a male right now. This is the anxieties of a 25-year-old. It could be a 35-year-old. It could be a 30-year-old. It could be a 40-year-old. We've hung out. We've had a great time. Sex is a part of the equation for me.
Right.
I'm not trying to push it on someone else, but I know now that my, you know, I can't really make the decision that I would want to make without looking like the biggest piece of shit. Like, it's an unfair decision for, he has to either opt out now, not knowing if they're sexually compatible, but I don't know, he doesn't have to,
Well, here's my question about that. Is it the case with a lot of men where they would have sex with someone and then be like, the sex wasn't that great, so I'm out? I feel like that's rare.
No, I agree with you. I think the way he asked that part isn't fair to himself. I don't think he's going to be like, ugh, it was horrible.
Right.
Fucking, you know.
Or is he going to think like the spell, I'm not thinking with my penis anymore.
I think we're beyond that. He's masturbated so many times to her Instagram at this point. Is like way out the fucking window. He knows he's attracted to her. He's already said she's beautiful. So, you know, all this stuff. I think it's more like, hey, this is a part of it for me. And I know, I think that the fear is, you know, you guys, they start having sex and that's held against him as something he was after the whole time when he's trying to make a decision for himself.
Right.
To be in a relationship, which he's never been in. And I'm sure he's afraid of that too. He's never been in a relationship, he said. And they've never had sex. So like, again, this is also coming from the world of the hookup culture and all that stuff. Like so all the people that write in, I've never had a boyfriend and I'm 25. Like, so hasn't the guys, you know, like.
Right. And no one thinks anything.
Anything of it. And I don't know, would you, you know, have you been in this position? And answer his question, because he's like, I don't think she's still trying to figure out if she's attracted to me. She could still be. To me,
I think she definitely could still be.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think that's definitely one aspect. She thinks, you know what I mean? She thinks you're great on paper and she's, you know, maybe she thinks you're a great guy, but she's not sure if she's sexually attracted. That's one scenario I thought of, which I've been in that position. And, you know, and all the coupley stuff to me, that makes even more sense. She's like, this totally. Is what I like. Like, this is great. It's like, but I'm just not that part. She's sure she likes.
And the double date thing makes sense. Like,
she wants a social thing.
And she wants to see how the friends go. She wants the friends to push her.
Exactly. Push her one way or the other. I think that's probably the most likely case. The other case is sometimes that, like, I don't know if he's, I'm not saying he should be like aggressive, but a lot of the time it's like, if you're making out or you're hooking up, you kind of want the other person to like push you a little bit out of your comfort zone. But I obviously understand that that's like a very fine line to cross. But there is something to be said of like, okay, maybe you're being so timid with this that I'm wound up almost, this has happened to me too, where I've almost wound up getting a friend, like putting someone in a friend zone because they didn't make a move aggressive enough, fast enough that I was like, I had almost like too much time to intellectualize it, and they're no longer sexual to me.
It was an animal enough, right? You know, and I do understand that, and that's again.
I don't know if that's like politically correct or.
Well, this is the tough conversation to have. Of like, you know, it's the touch her back, but don't touch it too. You know, but give a signal. You know, back off right away. It's the gray area of that. Listen, goes down a bad road, and we have to acknowledge that, like, you know, to a dangerous road. But at the same time, it's this, I want to be pursued, but I want to be respected.
Right.
You know, and that...
I want to be pushed a little bit out of my comfort zone, but not, like, too much.
Totally. And right. I don't subscribe to the, you know, you hear from guys who are, like, married, like, I wouldn't even know what to do these days. It's like, no, it's not like that.
Sometimes it is about sexual chemistry, and I do agree with that, too. And I'm saying, like, I've had experiences with guys that I thought they were really attractive and the banter was really funny, but there was just something where like, it just didn't feel like there was a chemistry, or when we were like making out or something, or it just didn't feel like we were both super into it. And like you said, in an animalistic kind of way.
Have you been at that spot where you're still not sure and then gone through with having sex with a guy?
Yes. And when I have done that,
okay,
it's been a no. It's been a no.
And I would say, and I'm speaking,
if that was the reason that I wasn't sure if there was like a sexual chemistry, but I really wanted it to work and then I slept with them, usually it wound up going the other way.
That you didn't like them after that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because it's interesting to hear that because I'm sure it's disappointing for this guy because he's like, oh, fuck.
And that's if it happened too late, I think. Sometimes if that's the case, but it happens earlier because the guys, and I don't, this isn't a call to action for men to be like uncomfortably aggressive. But I think sometimes it's like if you're on the fence, but the guy seems really into you physically and like maybe pushes you a little bit more and then you kind of become more into it and you sleep together, then I think that is one thing. But if it's too long and they're not making the move, then in your head, you're sort of like telling yourself this just isn't.
We've lost our chance.
This isn't that hot.
See, it's interesting because his fear is probably from the other side. His fear is that we go over that mountain together. I make a move more pursuant to us getting physical. And then I'm not into it and she's obsessed with me. That's the ego of a man.
But
that's
I don't think he wouldn't be that into it. Seems like he's really into her.
I think so too, but I think that's what he's fearful of is that now we get into the bedroom and the relationship isn't the same as it was. And
I think he's put her on a pedestal as this super hot person that's out of his league. And now he like has to tiptoe around touching her, which isn't really hot.
Not hot.
I have to say, like, when you see a lot of the times, that's sort of like when you do see a woman who's with a guy who's much less attractive than her, usually it's the case that the guy is, like, almost sort of an asshole. Do you know what I mean?
And that was what was hot about him.
But no, there's something, it's like an overconfidence, like, a sense of, like, he, like, thought he could get you, and then somehow he did.
Man, this mind game is so fucked
up. It's a little fucked up, I agree with that. But usually, I'm saying, usually in life, when you see that out in the wild, it's usually not because the guy was, like, so much more timid and so much less attractive.
Yeah, it's so hard because, and again, we want to acknowledge, like, this conversation's hard to have because it's in this gray area. When do you, you know, hey, want to come back to my place? I don't know. Okay, no problem.
Right.
Cool with me. And then they go, well, maybe I will. And you go, well, and I can speak for the, you know, a lot of men. No one wants to hear, I went through with it and then we got done and I was like, no fucking way. You know, like, you don't want to hear that about you, you know, you want to be the man, you know? So for this guy, what would you say? I have an idea for this guy.
I think he's got to like make a move. Obviously I got not against her will, but no, I think that like, that's kind of how you're going to know. And if she seems extremely reluctant to that at this point, then I think you can easily say something.
I have a process for this for him because I've thought about this a lot. Right. And I think he has to get over, like, what was so interesting about the Rebel Wilson, biggest number one fan of the podcast Rebel Wilson episode, was the way she explained dating in Australia to me. Because it was interesting because she's like, when you're with each other, you're just with each other. I think this idea, it seemed as though, from my interpretation of the Australian version of dating, the pressure of like, what's next wasn't as much there as it is here. Because I think that's what he's dealing with. I think he's dealing with, okay, we're not in a relationship. I've never been in a relationship. Then we have sex. And now I'm in this relationship that I've never done this before. I'm scared of what that means. And then if I ever want out of it, I'm the guy that made her, that kind of pushed her towards being more physical when she didn't want to. And now I'm sitting there ending something that I pursued. That's what I hear in his email a lot.
I think that's not the way that she's thinking about it.
I don't think so either. But that's why he's timid too. So it's affecting everything.
Right.
You know, because sex has been put on a pedestal, she's been put on a pedestal as far as, you know, physical contact has been concerned. He's backing off because he's afraid of, okay, that's a big mountain. That's a big step on her end.
Right.
So now I'm being respectful of that step. So I'm getting timid. Now I'm looking less attractive. Like it's all self-fulfilling.
Right. Yeah. I think that it's also, the more I think about this, like you want some, even if you're not ready to have sex with someone, you still want to feel like they want to have sex with you really badly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even if you're not, you're kind of hesitant because maybe that makes you more attached or maybe you're unsure. Part of what makes it hot is feeling like, not like saying, bye, I'll see you tomorrow. Like, do you know what I mean? Like the idea that you physically can't, get enough of someone.
Yeah, no, I think my message to this guy being 12 years older than him is, and I wish I could say this to myself at that age, stop fearing breakups.
Yeah.
I think he's fearing a breakup. I think because men look at the end before they look at the romantic, you know, the romantic journey. And I think he's fearing the breakup, and that's hurting from the other side. She's going, this guy won't make a fucking move. This is fucking this tall drink of water.
She's going to lose it. She's going to lose the interest.
So he's going to lose the moment because he's writing it, I'm speaking to him.
Okay.
Stop fearing the breakup. It's probably going to end anyways. Like, enjoy this person's company and be in a relationship with them. See what it's like.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go for the relationship. And part of that is going for sex.
Yeah.
And I would say to this guy, let's start at fucking not sex. Hand jobs. Let's start with, you know, going down on this woman. Let's start.
Add it to the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. One hand job cooking. Yeah. In there. And I would say to this guy, I think the date he should set up, fuck the dinners, fuck the fucking all this garbage he's doing with three nights of drinking. Go get drinks.
Yeah.
Wine bar.
Loosen up.
We're just doing drinks. Travel. Go from a wine bar to a dive bar. And then, you know, and I'm not saying get drunk. I'm saying have one drink, have another, you know, one drink at one place, have another drink at another place. And then be like, hey, you want to come back? And here's how I would grease the tracks.
Yeah.
Whisper what you feel into her ear.
Sexually.
Whisper into her ear. I'm telling you, this is a good idea. At the bar.
Timing is everything.
Timing. Timing, obviously, you know, not, hey, I want to fucking fuck you. Yeah. No, it's got to be, as the night goes on, just whisper kind of some hot shit into her ear. And when you're whispering, ask questions.
Yeah.
Have you thought about me?
Make it a sexual environment.
Let's make it sexual. Let's get the lights dim. Let's get... And I'm telling you,
put your hand on her back.
Touch the back and then bring it home and let's forget about sex.
Yeah.
We're just two human beings getting naked together, stroking each other's backs.
If only you had a Jared Fried sexual audio tape.
I want to be Cyrano.
Is that the god
of... No, Cyrano is the guy that gets in his ear. Isn't that the play? He's in his ear the whole time. I'm telling him, but I mean, like, and I think when you tell what you like about her and ask what she likes about you, that gets it sexy.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk some awkward sex now that we've made it awkward in here. The whole room in here, I can feel it. They didn't like my talk of sexual...
I think if you're good at it, if you're not, if you're going to be weird, if it's going to come out weird...
Not
don't
like, hey, your pussy seems cool. No.
Yeah, if he feels confident, maybe practice on a friend.
Whisper it into a pillow.
Yeah.
We have a new intern today. what a first day for Maya. You know, what would they whisper? I mean, I got to be inspired by the person I was with, but I got to say, like, you know, you look so fucking sexy tonight. Like saying you look sexy.
I like that. Not X. I like a non-X rated.
Not X rated. You can X rate it into the bedroom. Sure. Match the surroundings. Yes. Yeah. You look so sexy tonight. And I think when you whisper in the ear, that's sexual. That's sexualized. Yes. And then if you're in the bed together, what do you like? Tell me what makes you wet. You know, like things like that. Like it's, I think those, you know, match the surroundings, match the place you're at. Say what you like to do to them. Like, what do you enjoy? Right. I think, but the whisper helps it all.
What if she's not into it?
Yeah, you got to take those whispers home, put them in your bag and pack it up.
All right, then. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're going to get an answer very quickly.
Yeah.
She's going to go, you know what? You're obviously on a different page than I am.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. And then now whispers turn to conversation.
Right. Hey, about what's going on.
What's going on here? Because I'm, and I've had that before. Hey, I'm putting in the effort. What's going on? You know, turn on the lights. You know, like, you know, put away the candles. Blow out the candles. Okay. Totally okay. That if you're not into this, I don't want to push someone towards a place that they're not looking to go. But let's talk this out. And also, I don't want to embarrass myself.
Right.
You know, or I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, on a different page. People don't like being on the same page as each other. That's why the reveal we talk about it here all the time. People don't feel comfortable being on a different page with someone, and it's short lasting.
Yeah, I agree. Give it a. That could be your plan B if the whisper. Yes. If the whispering doesn't work.
Well, that has to be plan B.
Plan B is I'll see you tomorrow.
Later, Gator. You're back to waving in the front yard.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
UUP at Betches.com. Send in your awkward sex stories. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Jared and Jordana, feather, love the pod and tell all my friends to listen. I grew up in a very sheltered and religious household. My dad is a Baptist pastor. This meant church 3 times a week and intense focus on sexual purity.
Wow.
Boy, don't let him listen to the first part of this podcast. purity ring and purity ball.
What's a purity ball?
So I Googled this.
Okay.
It is a dance that the dad goes to with their daughter.
Oh, purity ball.
A purity ball. I thought it was like...
Sounds like an oxymoron.
Right? I thought it was a testicle that had been untouched.
Purity ball, wow.
I looked it up. A purity ball is a formal dance event typically practiced by some conservative Christian groups in the United States. The events are attended by fathers and their teenage daughters in order to promote virginity until marriage.
Sounds creepy.
The pictures are even creepier. It's the dads with their daughters, and it looks like their prom photo.
That's weird. I don't like that.
Listen, if this is your background, it's fucking weird. I don't know how else.
No judgment.
But we're judging. You know, I'm sure they would think a bar mitzvah was weird, too. When they saw those bar mitzvah dancers take the floor and start grinding with my dad, I think they would think that was weird, too.
I mean, the circumcision is probably the weirdest thing that anyone could possibly witness.
You cut the penis?
And that's the party.
At the breakfast?
And that's the party.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. To each their own, but this does sound weird. Okay. My parents were always regulating what we, three siblings and I, could read or watch and even homeschooled us to ensure our education aligned with their beliefs. I got no sexual education except on my 13th birthday, where my mom had the both of us watching a videotape of my own birth.
Ugh.
I will take the memory of my head emerging from my mother and my shoulder ripping the side of her vagina to my grave. I mean, the imagery will go to my grave, too. This is horrible.
I wouldn't want to see that.
Hey, everybody, gather around. We're going to watch a movie.
Home video.
Yeah. Oh.
You were so cute.
I'm starting to think the bris isn't as weird.
People, I feel like, used to videotape births. Does that still happen?
That was always like a sitcom trope.
Yeah.
Or a movie trope.
With the video camera and the woman like yelling at him.
Yeah.
Something.
Get out of the way. Yeah. I remember that. I was able to go away for college. My first 2 years were akin to season one of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. But by year three, I was ready to throw my purity ring in the trash and get laid. Let's go, girls. That is. I just see the purity ring in the trash.
It was an actual ring. Wow.
It's a ring, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's
where do you get them? Is that like a town thing?
At the purity store?
Purity store.
Yeah. What do you do? I own the local purity ring store.
We rent out gowns for the purity ball as well.
We got all your purity needs in one place. All this backstory to set up how this awkward sex story occurred. The scenario: I'm a virgin with my new super cool boyfriend who drinks alcohol and rides a skateboard.
Hot.
This guy's fucking cool. We've had a few sleepovers and just some light kissing and cuddling. The event, I'm giving my boyfriend a handy and my face is close to his peen. This was the first erect male penis I had seen, so I was interested in watching it get hard. my boyfriend was coaching me through the handy, and once I felt, hold on. Can you imagine him telling this story to his friends? Yeah, she like got really, she was holding my cock, and then she got up to it like it was a microphone.
Hello. Tap, 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 tap. Yeah. Is this thing on?
So, hello. Is there any coming there? My boyfriend was coaching me through the handy, and once I felt like I was getting the hang of it, my boyfriend yells, "Get out of the way!" Knowing nothing about male ejaculation, I miss the cue and get a splattering of semen in my eye and my face. My body stiffens like the cock. I sit straight up, slowly wiping the cum off my eye with my hand. I look at my boyfriend in shock. He looks at me with anticipation and asks, "Did you like it?"
No.
To which I respond, "Who would like this?" He replies, "I don't know, a whore or a porn star."
Okay. This is purity college. Must be pure.
The views reflected in this email
are
do not
reflect our.
The when I heard a whore, a porn star, or how about someone who likes a little, you know, come play?
That's not how it works at Jesus Camp.
No.
It sounds like, yeah.
There's only three people in this world: virgins, whores, and porn stars. Yeah. Come on my face, wide-eyed and glaring, I ask if I look like a whore to him.
I mean, weird time to ask that.
Yeah. And also, he just told you yes.
Yeah.
Kind of, like in his horrible way.
If you liked it, then yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Only if you liked it. To which he says no and runs off to get me. No, you're not a whore. Let me get you a towel. To which he says no and runs off to get me his cum rags, i.e. an old t-shirt. Yeah, cum rags is not a term.
That's gross. I hate that.
Yeah, that's... No, I've never... I don't have like a basket of cum rags. I don't think anyone has that.
Next to the hand towels.
That's right. No, not that
not
basket.
Those.
Those are my precious. After my boyfriend and I would laugh about the ridiculousness of this experience, 8 years later, we got married. Oh, and to answer your question, yes, this was our meet cute story on our wedding page. My father loved it. Kidding, we eloped. Thanks for making my Sundays and Wednesdays great. The virgin porn star. Wow.
I'm a little wary of the fact that she married this the horror porn star guy.
I mean, let's hope.
Hopefully he matured.
Matured a little bit, right? Yeah. I mean, she's like, it touched me, so I'm yours.
I feel like
that's how it works.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of checks also that they got married.
Right?
Like, this was the only person she had a sexual experience with.
Wow. What a tale.
Yeah.
Come on the face. Not a whore or porn star move. That could be a very normal teacher, businesswoman, lawyer. Anyone can get cum on their face and be a
equal opportunity.
Yeah. It can be an upstanding citizen in this community. We're not here to shame in any way, and obviously this is a story told from college 8 years ago, so we understand that we all can grow.
Exactly.
What would you call this one?
I really liked Maddie's suggestion. She said eye for an eye, purity sting, and 1 Corinthians 6:9.
1 Corinthians 6:9 is fantastic.
That was perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. I don't think I can outdo that.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code
podcast 15.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
Guys, we've got some new merch out. So check out the Let's Read Some Emails mug. What would J&J say? And then you can also get our Splash of Obnoxious t-shirt, the UUP podcast tank, at shop.betches.com. And also, if you're not a subscriber yet to UUP Benefits, check it out.
The shirts are great. Great summer shirt.
Yes.
It's a great beach shirt. Also,
Beach by Noon shirt.
Beach by Noon shirt. UUP with Benefits. People, the feedback is unbelievable. We know that it's a very captive audience. It's an audience that loves the show, but I got to say, we get such caring and wonderful response from it. So
I've never heard a regret from
no regrets. The home of no regrets. Yes. That's what I think Rebel Wilson said. So yeah, if you want UUP with Benefits, just search it on Spotify or hit that button on the Apple podcast app. Are we ready for another email?
Let's do it. Dear J&J, love the pod. I'll get right into it. I have a dating idea that might be genius or incredibly stupid. Please analyze it for me so it can be decided once and for all.
Stupid. No.
We'll see.
We'll see. I think this is okay.
I'm a woman, fairly shy, mostly into men, and I live in a city that is notoriously hard to meet people in. I know. We all say that. You do. The apps suck. It's funny because like no one who's in a relationship says that because they met someone.
This is a great city for dating. Met a guy right away.
No one who's with someone is like, it's very difficult to meet people here.
Also, they don't even write the city. You know, so it's like, they don't want to get refuted. Yeah.
The apps suck. There are literally more women than men in the population. Everyone is really noncommittal and everyone is really on the move. Well, at least she's got a good attitude about it. All equals really hard to date. My idea, get some business cards printed that say something flirty, like, you're cute and I'm single. Want to grab a drink? Text me at XXX. The idea being I would just hand them out when I saw someone cute, smile, and leave them be. How do you think this would come off? A, really desperate, as it clearly means I put some thought into it. After all, I would have had to go and get the cards printed. B, or is this like a quirky, entertaining, low-pressure way to try to meet someone new? Honestly, if I received one of these, I would probably text them because why not? But we all know women love a man with a plan. A woman, however, might just come off as desperate. Maybe it's just one of those things where if they think you're hot, it's hot. And if you're not, it's creepy. Would love to hear your thoughts. Single and bored of the apps, Betch.
Can I just say one thing before we get into this?
Let's hear it.
Going up to a guy and because you think he's attractive and saying hello will never be seen as desperate by any guy. She is putting those are her words.
Right.
I've never had a dude come up to me like, can you believe this woman keeps trying to talk to me? This woman came up and said hello to me.
Just going up to them and speaking to them, right?
Just, and it's like the idea, this desperate woman thing.
What about the card thing though?
So the card idea, here's what she's trying to do. She's trying to do what the apps do for her, but in real life.
Yeah.
The apps are meant to give you a safe space to approach where you will have very little bad feedback.
Right.
Now, the business card idea with here's my number, I think you're cute, text me or don't, that's the same thing. You're slipping someone a card so you don't have to see because they'll text you if they like you and they don't if you don't.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really, you know, I don't think you're going to get out of this. You know, the more cards you give it to, the more you're going to be disappointed with the business card thing. Just like you think the app suck, you'll be like, business cards fucking suck. And no one ever gets in touch with you. And then when they get in touch with you, they don't make a plan. I don't think a guy is going to make a plan with you. He's going to try and feel you out a lot if he even does text. It's not about desperate, not desperate. It's about everyone is, if they're attracted, they're going to go for it. So I think what she's trying to do is she's looking for a crutch that's better than the apps. And I don't think this will be what she thinks.
I don't think this is it. First of all, if I got this from a guy, if I got, it's one thing, if I got a thing from a guy that was cute and it was, he wrote it down on a paper.
Yes.
I would be like, and he, I thought he was attractive or maybe we had like a somewhat of a small interaction. I might text him.
Yeah.
If I got a business card that said, I think you're cute, here's my number on it, I would be out immediately. And here's why.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is, works for maybe men would care as much, but I would be like, oh, you have, you give these out to a million women. And now I'm just like, it's basically like Bumble. Like, this like now I'm inviting you to come pursue me. It doesn't feel at all tailored to me. It doesn't feel at all like a romantic, spontaneous gesture that you thought of because you just couldn't help yourself, but it's try to speak to me.
Yeah.
I would hate it. I wouldn't mind.
Is this a game to you?
Right.
Is this a big joke. Funny joke to you?
Yeah. Right. I would hate that personally if it were reversed. And then I think that it's not even just thinking of it from the man's point of view. I don't think that's a good move either for the same reason that I don't think that Bumble is the best dating app because, you could. I think you could give this card to someone if they're like down to hook up. Mm. They might text you. But like, I think it's, I don't think that's, you're necessarily going to know if someone's down to text you or down to date you.
Yeah, I don't think the success rate with the card is going to be, it's just you're seeing them in real life. That's the only thing. And the other issue is this is kind of you sneaking up on them being like, hey, I've checked you out from afar. Here's the card. You can text me or not. Goodbye. And it's like, what opportunity have they gotten?
Right, to look at you.
To look at you. Yeah. This is a one-way street. I think this person, and you nailed it, she writes, I'm a woman fairly shy. Like, again, that fairly shy, the answer's in the email to me. You know, you hate the apps because the apps are more, so there's more opportunity for failure. So you're experiencing a lot of failure in the app. And I'm not saying you specifically, but there's just more failure on dating apps. It's, you meet more people than you would ever meet in a week on a dating app than you would in real life. So you're seeing failure on apps and then you're going, well, what's another way? And I'm sure they're somewhat joking, this genius idea, but like, I'll make a business card that says, hey, I think you're cute, you know, text me. And it's like, I don't know if that's, I think you're sidestepping your own issues, which is that you got to be a little bit more positive about this whole thing and go out with friends and have fun and it'll happen.
Make it a more organic experience. Yeah. That's not to say if on occasion, you know, there's a particular circumstance where you're like, I don't want to like be rude or like be weird. But I kind of do want to give, like, let the person know I thought they were cute. And I agree. It should sort of be a situation where they've had some sort of interaction with you. I feel like you see this a lot in like the service industry.
Yeah.
If like you had a waiter, do you know what I mean? Who like you maybe had like some sort of a flirty banter with, or, you know, you thought the waitress was cute, that you don't want to like put her on the spot or make them feel uncomfortable. So you'll do that there. But I think if you left the waitress a business card that said, I think you're cute, that I had pre-made, it would be like scary.
Text here for my cock. Yeah. Right? I don't know. Yeah. I don't, it is interesting how much she uses the word desperate. I just want to let her know that is not a word you hear a lot from this end.
For men?
Yeah.
Women are desperate?
I mean,
when's the last time you thought someone was desperate?
Desperate is not hearing the answer I'm giving you. Okay. So desperate to me, this is my interpretation. Desperate
is it not hearing the hint?
The hint. Not hearing what I'm saying when I'm saying it.
Right.
Hey, you know, desperate to me is the third time you give the card to the same guy, not the first time you wrote your number on a page and we're like, hey, I think you're cute.
The third DM that you're sending.
The third DM, the hey, we should get drinks. Hey, I'm really appreciated, but I'm not looking to date right now. Hey, is now better? Is now better? Is now better? That's when
I'll tell you when it's.
I'll call you, kid. Yeah. Don't, you know, I don't know. I just, that
Well, it's almost having like a childlike mentality of like, do you know what I mean? When you're a kid and you ask your mom, like, can I have it?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, not right now. Like, what about now? What about now? It's like, and maybe you'd break her down eventually.
Yeah.
It's like having that mentality towards,
You get fixated. It's getting fixated on a certain thing or a person. So I, yeah, that's the only thing that like, when I read this, I was like, the card is just dating app, you know, analog dating app. Yeah. And, analog Bumble, and the desperate thing was just didn't speak to me. I was just like, I don't think you look desperate at all.
If a guy guy did it with a card, I might think he was a little desperate.
Cheesy.
Maybe cheesy is the better word. Cheesy.
That might be the best. Yeah. And it's funny because when you said like your mind goes straight to, is this a joke or is this not, you know, how many cards do you have?
Yeah.
Well, if I got that, that wouldn't be where my mind would go, but I'd be like...
Well, you wouldn't care.
I wouldn't
especially
care.
Especially if you were like down to hook up. Yeah. Someone was like hot and they gave you a card. It wouldn't matter how they approached you, with a card, with a handwritten note. With
I've gotten the handwritten note and...
I'm sure you get the handwritten note a lot since you're like, you know...
I've gotten it after shows. And I've texted, hey, what's up? But the problem with the handwritten note, hey, what's up? It's like, you got... The handwritten note doesn't lead to meet me in my bedroom. Like that's, no, let's go to a bar and see if you're if there's a connection.
Yeah, well, that's,
you know?
That's good. I think that's as much as you can get out of a handwritten note, really.
It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. Let's play some games. Today's Red Flag or Deal Breaker game is brought to you by Faux Pas. Just in time for summer, there's a new canned cocktail that's made for Betches by Betches, and it's ready to drink, so you can bring it wherever your group text takes you next. They come in four delicious flavors with a Betches twist. Beautiful, vibrant packaging, so they look good and taste even better. And of course, they're best served cold, like a K-text.
All right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Red Flag or Deal Breaker. They don't take elevators. Backstory. My sister is on a bachelorette party and one of the girls refuses to take elevators. They're staying on the 16th floor and after drinking all night, she walked up all the stairs. They have to wait in the lobby for her to walk down all the stairs. Pre-COVID, she claims to have worked on the 20th floor and did this every day. What do you think?
Deal breaker. See a therapist.
Yeah. You're difficult.
I can't.
You're annoying.
I'm not going to like spend my life
waiting on your issues.
Waiting for you to come down the stair. What if we have a kid? The doctor's on the eighth floor.
I get it if they're like, I live on the fifth floor. I don't take the elevator because this counts as steps. And
sure.
That's like
but
a different
But I will story. If it's.
But I, yeah.
Right.
I don't take elevators. 16 floors.
Yeah. What if they don't take flights? They're scared of flights.
Airplane?
Yeah.
Gone. Nope. You're out.
Which would you prefer? I prefer the high floor person?
I don't know. That's brutal.
I mean, if you're not taking the high floors, I don't see how you're on an airplane.
They go to the 20th. They just take the stairs.
They just take the stairs, yeah.
The stairs. It's the lack of acknowledgement. Like, sometimes you got to put away your shit so other people can enjoy their fucking day. Sometimes you don't get to be comfortable all the time.
I mean, clearly this person has a complex or something happened up with an elevator. So they need to go deal with that.
Yeah.
And then we can date.
Can you imagine being on a bachelorette party, and you're like, okay, we'll meet downstairs in 10 minutes. And I'd be like, okay, Brian.
Time's leave now.
Better leave now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They're probably in incredible shape.
That's true. Up especially. That's crazy.
I mean, how annoyed do you get when someone gets in the elevator on the second floor? On a scale of 1 to 10.
I would say in a building where you're not sure where like anything is, okay, I can understand it.
This building.
Like if you walked into this building and we were on the second floor and you're kind of like, I don't know where the staircase
office
is.
Office building. No. Office building, I'm cool with it.
Whatever. Apartment building. And you're not carrying any heavy shit.
Nothing.
Get out of here. Yeah.
I'm on the fourth floor. So I think I could do the stairs, but I take the elevator.
Okay.
When I come down, I stop.
What if there's a wait? What if you're waiting there?
That would be annoying.
If I was on the way down. And the elevator has taken such a long time, and then it's stopping on the second floor.
I got mad the other day. You know? There was a guy that got in, and he was the nicest guy in the world. I couldn't make eye contact with him. I was so fucking mad.
It's really upsetting.
I was walking. I take weights out to the field where I work out, so I bring in my weights. I have them on my shoulder, and I'm like sitting with them, and it's like they're heavy, you know? Yeah. Like, so I'm going down the floors, and then all of a sudden we stop on two, and I literally, my voice just went, oh, fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then he got in, and he's an older guy, not too old to take the stairs, but older, and he immediately looks at me with a big smile, right. And I'm like, I looked at the ground. I was like, I can't look at you. And I legit, and then he goes, and I had my headphones in, and I was just like, don't fucking talk. Just don't talk to me. I'm so mad at you. I have to go somewhere. I have to be there.
Right.
And he goes, getting a workout in?
Oh, my God.
And I go, and I took out my headphone, and I go, yeah. He goes, how many hours? I go, an hour. He goes,
how many hours?
Yeah. And he goes, and
more than 1 hour.
I go, just 45 minutes. He goes, that's great. And I was like, Jared, you're a piece of shit. This guy's like the nicest guy in the world.
He was the nicest guy you would have taken the goddamn stairs.
Yeah, right?
but it's funny, especially, you know, when you're like on a higher floor and then the elevator starts filling up because it's stopping at every single floor. And then as people get in, everyone in the elevator is starting to get annoyed because it's already full. especially when it's already full and then it stops and then everyone has to look at the other person. Like you had to push the button. We're just now like, you can't even get in. So now I'm just like, bye.
I'm a squisher.
You're like, come in.
I'm coming in. And I guess.
You can tell the vibe when you're like about to get in and the people are like,
oh, they're so annoying. Are you gonna try? Yeah. Are you really gonna try? This happened when I was in Reno. I was in this garbage casino hotel, and there was one elevator, and it came to my floor, and I was like, "Get to know each other." I got right in.
I'm gonna scooch right in here.
Scoochie on in.
Well, there's like a tiny little pause where you have to decide. Like, am I gonna be like, "I'll get the next
one." Yeah, yeah.
Who am I as a person? Or are you going to be like, all right, I'll make you.
Hands in the sky, people.
It's a whole etiquette.
Yeah, I agree. You do have a moment to decide.
I guess you wouldn't have to worry about that with this person.
No, not at all. No. This person's helping us out.
Let's play voicemail.
Do it.
Hey, J&J. Longtime listener. Got a red flag or deal breaker for you. And this is something I just did. And I need to call in and use this lifeline for my dating gurus. I'm wondering if what I just did is a red flag or a deal breaker. Just went on a second date. Everything was going great. First date went amazing. Last night, she needed a ride to the airport this morning. I work remote, so I gave her a ride, brought her coffee. Everything was great until right when I was going to tell her to have a safe flight, looked her dead in the eyes, and I called her the wrong name. Please tell me. Did I just do a red flag or did I just do a deal breaker?
Did I do a red flag? He sounds like a dad. Did I do a red flag?
It sounds like that guy called in to find out like more dates.
What do you mean?
He's like, am I a great guy or a good guy? Drove her to the airport, right, got her coffee.
Amazing things I did.
Yeah. I was like,
I think wrong name, second date, you're okay.
I totally think you're okay.
Wrong name, like second month, not so great.
Wrong name, yeah. After picking them up for a free ride to the airport, yeah. And getting them coffee?
I have never been driven to the airport by anyone that I've had sex with.
Yeah.
Ever. Have you?
I don't think so. But you just saved them $100.
Yeah.
We talked about this. I took the...
You ever driven anyone to the airport?
No.
Never done that.
I was like, this guy, what do you got, nothing to do?
Get an Uber.
Yeah. I told you I took the air train. Oh yeah,
we didn't even talk about that. I can't believe this is like the least down to earth thing about you is that you took the air train to JFK for the first time.
The first time. There's a train that you can take the train to Jamaica, and from Jamaica you can go the Jamaica station. You can go to JFK Airport. Yeah. And I was like, the ride was $200 Uber from my place to the airport. I was like, you know what? I got the time. Let me do some steps. And I took the air train. It was the most wonderful experience I've ever had.
It's so funny you talk about that like a rich person would talk about taking like a commercial airline. It was just so great.
It was,
you know,
so
I
nice.
Just breezed through security. You know, you just go through security and then there's an area you can get buy food right before you get on the plane. Unlike You're when right. we fly by private and you just, you know, you have to get right on.
I got to see what people are like. Yeah, it was I really enjoyed the whole air train experience. I could be a spokesperson.
Now you're a New Yorker.
Now I'm finally a New Yorker. Yes. I did it.
Well, I mean, the air train is just a much faster, much more efficient way to get to the airport if you're going at like, if you don't have a checked bag and you're going at any kind of rush hour, it just makes no sense to not take it.
It makes no sense. Now, I feel stupid now because even getting to the Penn Station to get to Jamaica was longer than the whole thing. Like from my place, from the West Village. Like I was like, this is taking forever. Like,
imagine if you took the subway. Exactly. Could have gotten there even faster.
I'm not getting crazy now. Come on. I have a name to uphold.
Drink water from the tap?
Ooh. My word. Yeah. Let's do one more. You ready?
Okay.
Faux pas or nah? J&J, I've been hooked on your podcast ever since I was told by a friend to listen 3 years ago. Jared, share people. Yeah, thank you. I matched with this guy on Hinge. Good banter, made a plan, let's go. He picked a really nice restaurant for the first date. Plates are a minimum $25, drinks, $15.
But who's counting?
Yeah. Then she writes, not my style. Oh, well, tonight it was. Not my style for a first date, but whatever. He's trying to impress me because we've matched before and I ended up ghosting. Reason being, he never made a plan or asked questions back, so the convo died. So red flag or deal breaker, we get the check. He already had his card out on the table for the waitress to immediately take without taking a glance at the bill. Also on his profile, his prompt said, I'll get the first round. It's always on me. So I didn't think to ask to split. So he then goes, so this is going to come across as grimly, like I want you to see the bill. Grimly?
I don't know what that means.
Is that a word? I'm looking to
Doesn't
all
grim
the...
grim like mean like dark?
Yeah.
Right?
Grimly? Like, grimy.
Grimy. Maybe he meant. Maybe she meant to say grimy.
Yeah, grimy makes a lot more sense. So this is going to come across as grimy, like I want you to see the bill, but I always have my date do the tipping part.
No.
What the fuck? I wish someone got a picture of my face. I was like, what do you mean? Do you not know how to tip or do you not tip usually? He said, I just don't want to mess it up. She sends an eye roll emoji. I see the check and at the bottom, it already has the math done for you. 10 to 30% options. 30%?
Well, we'll keep going.
The bill was $134 and I usually leave 25%
That's
if it's
absurd.
Decent.
That's
a
very
big
high
fucking tip.
Right? As a go-to. I mean, you can leave 25% on occasion. That's your go-to. It's like a
She writes, I usually leave 25% if it's decent, more if the service was exceptional. This person must have worked in the industry.
Yeah.
Because industry people, they go
20%
big,
is the
20% to me
is a good tip.
That's what I would
imagine.
He sees my tip and goes, okay, that's what I would have done. Yeah, of course he's gonna say that. Oh, 70%? Of course. That's what I would have done. What?
Oh, why 100%?
Yeah. Okay, why didn't you then? I'm thinking he wanted me to see how much it was. What are your thoughts? Thanks, just the tip.
I hate this.
I hate the whole thing because in your profile, for it to say, his prompt said, I'll get the first round. It's always on me.
Right.
So he's very much aware. Thing about
not only paying, but yes. showing, but everyone acknowledging that yes. he is always paying.
So he's already.
Which is so much worse.
So much worse. So it. You know, he's talking about this in a vacuum. Like, no, we remember your profile. Your profile was all fucking hung up on paying the bill. Right.
And that's why I picked the place with the $25 entrees. That's right.
And then you say, I don't want you to think I'm trying to get you to see the tab, but I always do this. How about you stop always doing that?
Also, like, why would you do, like, first of all, I wouldn't mention what I always do on day. I always take my dates
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no.
I always.
So.
Like, don't talk about what you're doing on other dates. What's just up, generally.
Roberta? Yeah, she's always the waitress whenever I bring some.
All the other dates.
Woman yeah. here, yeah.
I would say as a general rule, don't talk about other dates that yeah. you're going on your date.
Yeah, and what you always do is I'm yeah. a dating pro. Yeah, I don't know. It's this is a deal breaker for me. Any form of making the check more uncomfortable while acknowledging you're making it more uncomfortable right. is a deal breaker
and
for
saying
me.
Then you're always
fucked up
do
about,
that.
Yeah, yeah. You're fucked up about money. You're fucked up.
Yeah. And appear and like the way you're perceived. Not even yes. just money. It's like, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At first I thought he was having her pay the tip. And I was like, that's what weird. I thought that was too. Almost would have been that almost would have been less weird. I don't know. I guess it would maybe not. But
it would have been weird because of the way he if he had said, hey, I got the bill if you get the tip. That's actually to me like, listen, you might be listening to me like, I would never. But
that's not the craziest thing.
That's not the craziest thing in the world. Yeah, that is a way things get taken care of. Sure. I can understand that. Yeah. But for him to leave the card out,
yeah.
so he's made a big show, I'm right. the bear.
And then also trying to like judge her based on what she would select. What does that even mean? Like now she's taking a test?
Yeah. I don't like any of this. 25 to 30%. This is crazy.
Yeah, I hate that. I mean, not that. I mean, it's nice to turn that I don't
for
hate.
You,
that yeah, I don't yeah. hate, but you know. That well, is, I think that's a little weird that she tips 25% every single time.
That I agree with. Right. I've been big on, I've gone the other way on baristas. I've been tipping them more than before.
Okay. Well, now you're like a regular place. Yeah. So you should.
So yeah now it'd be
you want service. Well, it's yeah. also like it's better for you. Now people will remember, they'll
I'm the guy.
Serve you.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, I remember when that first came out, like tip the barista. Now I'm like, yeah, I go to the.
Oh, I'm thinking the bar, the barista you're tipping. Wow.
The coffee place.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking, for some reason, I'm thinking the bartender. You just said the barista, though. Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
What bar am I a regular at?
Don't you go to like, do some West Village bars? You I name go to a some lot. Of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they wouldn't know
you talk
me.
About
I'm
you
not
go
that
there
much
a lot.
Alcoholic.
You go sit yeah. at the bar.
Sit alone.
Norm.
I'm me. Yeah. I'm Norm. If you enjoy this conversation about how much to pay, who should pay for the date.
Oh, yeah. Check out.
My
is it out
TED
yet?
Talk. I don't know if it'll be out yet, but I have behind the scenes footage. A lot
get
of
the warm-up.
BTS. Yeah. So you can go to my YouTube channel and check out parts 1 through 4 from the Chili Cook-Off, Todd's Deaf Chili.
How much do you tip the barista? Now I feel bad.
I do the percentage.
Like at Starbucks?
Buck, $1 on a coffee. I don't know. I just, okay. There's something that has got, I've changed. I never was this way. And now I feel
judged. I'm just kidding.
Listen, you know, Jordana said, you know, fuck those people. No.
I mean, I guess like if you're going to tip a bartender, is a barista any different?
I'm getting like a mixed
really.
Drink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Someone has to like put it together.
I wouldn't look down on someone if they didn't tip. Well, red flag deal breaker. You go to get coffee with a guy, doesn't tip the barista.
I mean, I just said I don't tip the barista.
So, birds of a feather, I guess. No, I guess
if he doesn't tip the bartender, that's a deal breaker. If he doesn't tip the barista, I just feel like that's so much less socially acceptable.
I agree with you, yeah. But I also think it's interesting that we would differentiate. The barista is making a mixed drink.
Like, I'm usually doing a mobile Starbucks order. Am I supposed to, like, I don't know. You're like,
it's
just got weird for me. I'm gonna get DM'd from every angry barista who's like, "You're the problem."
I don't. To me, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like,
I guess it's nice. Maybe I should. I don't really get coffee as much as I used to, but now maybe I'll think about.
Listen, if
you ever make coffee at your home,
I used to, and then I've gotten out of the game. I used to do Keurig flavored K cups.
Okay.
I liked flavored Keurigs. And then I think I ran out of them. I only have the mint one left. I hate the mint ones. I don't even know why they make mint ones.
That's weird.
It's like brushing your teeth and having
coffee. So now you get coffee and tips.
So now, but I like, I'm someone who likes the coffee experience. Like I like
going to the place,
sitting out, staring into the void. I mean, when I go to, like, I was in La Jolla last weekend, some of the best coffee sit and walks I've had in my life. Like I love just.
You like a nice artisanal coffee shop?
Oh yeah. Coffee is a to-do list item, not just a drink.
I couldn't disagree more.
Really?
And when I would, that was my least favorite part of living in Williamsburg, was all the like small artisanal coffee shops. I hated them.
You do love Starbucks.
I love Starbucks.
That was that was a learning moment number one of traveling with you. You do love a Starbucks.
Starbucks is incredible. They've got it locked.
It's
a standard product. You know what you're getting. Mobile ordering. I like to get out of there as soon as possible.
The artisanal coffee shops.
I found them so rude, so slow. I'm just like, I just want coffee. I don't need to, like, they're standing in the line and then they're taking like 10 minutes to make it. I'm like, just hurry up. I got to go.
Oh, no.
That's why Starbucks, they're efficient.
I know. Well, I go to two great coffee shops. Let me give some plugs. If you're, you know.
Starbucks.
You will, Starbucks better send you a fucking gift card after
Seriously,
this.
Seriously, I spend a lot of money there.
I go to the Elk, which is, if you love, you know, if you go on Instagram and you see.
Love everything I just said I hate?
I love everything you hate. I love the Elk in the West Village as well as 11th Street Cafe. Those are my two coffee shops.
Yeah, that was funny. Because when we were in Atlanta, when we were in Athens, Georgia, you were like, I found a spot. I'm like, great, where's the Starbucks? And you're like, we walked into a bar. And I'm like,
it was a coffee bar.
This place is great.
Yeah. And the guy was the nicest guy. You went along with him too.
He was really nice, but I was like, this kind of looks like a bar.
Yeah.
Not like a. It was just funny, like the difference too.
You had a good time there, didn't you? That, you know, there was a little bit of espresso martini in that.
Totally.
No.
Well, it's a running joke now with me and Mike. Whenever we go somewhere kind of remote, or we're like driving through a country hillside, or like somewhere like with a lot of land and open space, I'm like, would be great to have a Starbucks. Wouldn't it be great to have a Starbucks there? You could put a Starbucks there and there. I'm like.
I think your next career move is going to be real estate mogul.
Maybe. I talked to you about my Long Beach plans.
You have a lot of Long Beach plans. The people of Long Beach might not agree with it, but you have a lot of Long Beach plans, and just where you put Starbucks.
Yeah. I mean, I am a ruthless, I would say, ruthless money grubbing capitalist. That's how I see all land. I don't care about preserving anything. My in-laws live on Long Beach, and whenever I walk on the boardwalk, I think they should tear all this shit down. And just build like luxury condos, because it's all like little small restaurants and stores and like ugly condominiums.
If you don't know Long Beach, New York, Jordana is right. She's right, because I've been there. It's an hour away from the city. It's a beach town.
It's beautiful. I mean, like, they could
gorgeous.
Be
gorgeous. Yeah. It couldn't be, like, the idea that people go to Hamptons and not there is insane to me, just from being not from here, you know,
right,
like
in terms of proximity to the water and the New York City.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that it worked out that way, and the reason it did is my assumption of the reason it did, and I'm sure there's articles been written and books been written about this, but my assumption is because it's so many retired police and firefighters.
Right.
So it just seems like they have all the ordinance codes worked out. There's some, so they have worked the system in some way where you can't like move a hammer.
Yes.
You know,
I mean,
they
kept it non-obnoxious. Yes.
They've kept it. I mean, you know, it is obnoxious in a different way.
In a different way than the Hamptons.
Some guy yelling at you about the Yankees every 5 minutes, but it's it is not Hamptons because of, and I'm like, that has to be the reason. But that's why One day, Jordana's going to get in there. Going to turn that place into a Starbucks.
I'm the evil landlord in the movie that's like, we got to kick all these people who've lived here for 90 years out so I can build a mall.
Get rid of that orphanage.
Exactly. That's
me. Well, that's it for today. Red Flag or Deal Breaker presented by Faux Pas Canned Cocktails. They're 8% alcohol, made with real vodka or real tequila, gluten-free, and contain no artificial flavors or artificial friends, because we aren't into overcomplicating things. Jordana, Faux Pas is about to be the drink of the summer, right?
Dare I say, it already is.
I'm having one for the Sunday special.
100%. They're going to be, we're having one for the Sunday special. We're going to drink them at the live shows. Yep. They're going to be everywhere we are this summer, and we can't wait.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.